is now in session.
Damn.
This episode of DG Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Friday, March 3rd, 2017. A glorious 10-game slate on tap for Friday. Thursday, we had a little small three-game slate, which on the surface for three games looks pretty juicy. Turned out to be pretty sickening, especially if you were just played a lot of guys in that first game, the Bulls-Golden State. We'll get to that in a little bit. First, welcome to the show. I'm your host, The Judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Also, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. There's still, as I mentioned last show, there's just three things you can do for The Judge. Makes my life easier and gives more shows for you as we end the year. Remember, guys, we're about 75% of the way done with the regular season now for NBA. I think we're like 43 days away from until the NBA playoffs start. I think, as I mentioned this a few weeks ago, the first round of the NBA playoffs might be the best time to play NBA DFS ever, because there's no tanking, obviously, no resting guys. Basically, all the guys are playing like 35 plus minutes. Everyone's playing as hard as they can. It's really fun. I would say the first round is awesome of DFS NBA, and even the second round is not bad. But we are coming down to the home stretch now, so I'm going to try to power through. I'm exhausted. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, but I'm going to try to make it through the whole entire season for you guys, and at least the first round of the NBA playoffs. So probably we got about 2 months left, and then maybe bye bye to the Judge. I'm like missing. We could do a podcast called Missing the Judge. Have you heard of this new podcast called Missing Richard Simmons? Which, by the way, it's a phenomenal podcast. You guys should go check this out. I think it's really like the number one podcast right now if you just go check on iTunes. But that story fascinates me. Like, where is Richard Simmons? Is he just locked? He's locked up in his house? Like, his housekeeper just has him like a prisoner? It's just a fascinating story. Just one day he just vanished. He taught this class for 45 years, his exercise studio, and then one day he just vanishes. That could be what the Judge does. I mean, all of a sudden I'm doing my podcast, and then all of a sudden there's no more podcast. So if you do not want the Judge to become like Richard Simmons, might not be the best comparison in the world, do three things for me. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. All three means a lot. Also, when I tweet out the link to this show and also my super sneaky ninja show that I do about an hour or two before lineup lock that I just post via Twitter, just please retweet those so we can expand the listener base. Listener base continues to grow, which is a great thing. And also, please support the sponsor. That helps me out tremendously. And download this delicious, juicy, glorious app called Draft. And when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. All you do, you do those three things for the Judge, and then you are a dream lover, not a dream killer. If you do not do those three things, the Judge may call you a dream killer. And if you don't do any of those, you may be a soul crusher. So come on, be kind to the Judge. Love the Judge and the bailiff. Do it for the bailiff. Don't do it for me. Do it for the bailiff. He needs new toys. So I did a special episode that I posted on Thursday with a Utah Jazz beat writer, Andy Larson. I'm telling you, I looked at the numbers. A lot of you guys did listen, but it didn't get as many listens as we get for a normal DFS show. And I'm telling you, if you're not listening, you're missing out. Like the insight that Andy provided was excellent. He talks, you know, he takes us inside, talks about like shoot arounds and all kinds of stuff that we just wouldn't know. And also regarding every Utah player, he shed some light on, including why they played at a slow pace. So all kinds of cool little fascinating things that only a beat writer would know. So I do really think you should check out that podcast that's up right now. But let's jump into the slate for Friday, shall we? Let's jump into the slate. Before we do, let's talk Chambers. What is Chambers, my friends? Chambers is just the greatest DFS tournament in the land that I run every day. We run three of them on FanDuel, 20 people each. We run one on DraftKings, which has 50 people. And then we also, our lovely sponsor, Draft, has one that's on the homepage. Every Wednesday, they release one that's 128 people. It's a 7-day bracket challenge to the death. I think right now for Friday, it's going to be the round of 32. If you guys are still in that, please let me know, because the problem with, as I've said on a couple of previous shows, the problem with the judges' chambers on draft, I don't control that one. So we have people from Sleepy Grinders who are in there who are trying to defeat us. So we need someone from, you know, and I lost in my freaking first round master. I'm so, I guess the last two judges' chambers on draft, I've lost in the first round, which drives me insane, but it happens. So hopefully you guys are still in there. And if it's not me, well, hopefully one of you guys can take it down, and so we can avoid Sleepy Grinders, Roto Trash, one of their players from taking down the judges' chambers. So that should not be allowed. All right, getting back to chambers though. For Thursday, remember, it's a 3-game slate. Hopefully you didn't play a lot. On these slates, it's very hard to differentiate. So I play small. I play only tournaments. But you can still win money on these slates, of course, like any other night. So the winners, we had the people who won put up really nice scores. And we had two winners for the first time, which I love seeing in chambers. We've had over 800 people now play FanDuel Chambers, which is pretty phenomenal. So Jasmith 8583 had the top score of the night on FanDuel in all three of the contests, with a score of 324, his second cash of the year. His first win, though, so congrats to him. MG, I'm gonna butcher this name, MG Nest 123. I think that's what it is. Also got his first win of the year, also his first cash of the year. So congrats to you, sir. And Jeremir, who is the number 2 ranked player in the power rankings, which I'm trying to update for tomorrow. He won another chambers as well. It's his, I think it's his 22nd or 23rd cash, and it's either 12th or 13th win, which is phenomenal. So I'm trying to update the power rankings. Him and MG Fresh are 1 and 2, and they're neck and neck. He may have overtaken MG Fresh with this win on Thursday. Need to update that and see. Speaking of the power rankings, though, and best of the best, we are running a best of the best chambers on Friday on both DraftKings and FanDuel. So you will receive a special invitation from the judge if you have qualified. So if you've qualified, by the time you're probably listening to this, you probably have already would have received the invitation. So if you received it, congrats. If you didn't, don't worry. I will still open up 2 additional chambers on FanDuel, and I will still open up another chambers on DraftKings as well, because everyone deserves a shot at chambers. On DraftKings on Thursday, Butch is my homie. Took down the DraftKings. He achieved DK Chambers glory with a 280. D Patino took second, and then there was a tie for third with XX Big John 79X and CME Fly 80. So congrats to all you guys who did well in chambers on Thursday. So for Dream Killers, Dream Lovers, my bad, I said it wrong. Everyone's favorite segment, what is it called? Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. So even though it's only a 3-game slate, man, I could do a whole freaking show just on Dream Killers in that Golden State Chicago game. And I could just rant, rave, go nuts over Clay and Steph shooting bricks for 2.5 freaking hours. I think as I tweeted out, I don't remember exactly, I think it was sometime in the third quarter, I was banging my gavel that entire game, and I broke my gavel. It's my third broken gavel of the year, so I had to order another one on Amazon. I think I tweeted out a picture of basically the gavels that I was looking to buy. You guys can go check it out if you're very intrigued by that. Maybe you can get a gavel of your own. Maybe on the website whenever I can finally launch that thing, which I think is going to be launched at the latest on Monday, I'm in the final stages of launching my website. Maybe I'll sell gavels on there. Then we all can watch our games with gavels. It'd be pretty funny. And then you guys can send me pictures of you watching the games with a gavel. That'd be awesome. But I was smashing my gavel. I mean, I chucked it so hard at one point against the wall. Thank God it wasn't against my TV, but it basically just broke. And that's because Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, who were great plays, because Durant's out, so both those guys see massive usage bumps. I mean, they both see over 6.5% usage rate bumps, or right around there. And if you would have told me going into this slate, Klay is going to get 22 shots and Steph's going to get 27 shots, I would have said that I'm fine with that. And quite honestly, I still don't regret the play. That's the difference between me and most other people. And I know a lot of the trolls will get on me for picking players, which that's fine. Go ahead. But The thing with me is I have a process. I stick to my process, and it consistently wins me money. So I stay with it, and I'm fine. I don't let results from one particular night influence what I'm going to do going forward. Now, if every night I was losing, yes, then I would have to change what I'm doing. But I consistently and have no reason to change my process in any way. And I will gladly, because I love usage rates so much, I will gladly take Steph Curry taking 27 shots any day of the week. Now, just it happens in the last week or so, he's been god awful. He shot 10 of 27 from the floor, two of 11 from three. I think right before I started recording the show, I tweeted out something where he's shooting like 10% from 3-point range in the last week or something. It's just easily the worst stretch of his career. Obviously, that cannot continue, but he was horrendous on Thursday. I mean, the saving grace for him was he did other things on the court. He had 5 steals, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, whereas freaking Klay, first of all, honestly, if any of you guys are Warriors fans or going to these games, going to a home game, maybe you're on the road, maybe you were in Chicago. Was anyone at this game? Was Klay Thompson awake the whole time? Because I'm not sure. He played 37 minutes, but he's becoming like Andre Drummond to me. Not only is he costing me a lot of money, he's also – I'm not positive he's awake because not only did he shoot 5 of 22 from the floor, which is disgusting, soul crusher for sure, because I had him as a core player. I had him in all my lineups. As I mentioned on my short 10-minute audio clip that I released about an hour before lineup lock, Steph Curry, they jacked up his price, especially on FanDuel. So, I thought Dame Lillard was a much better play going into Thursday night slate. But Klay, I thought he was still reasonably priced, and he just put up an absolute dud. So he was my soul crusher of the night for sure. A 5 of 22, 1 of 11 from 3-point range. And then twisting the knife, twisting the mother effing knife. And the reason why I broke my gavel, because I'm seeing guys like McCaw all over the court. McCaw, who takes 5 shots. Zaza, who doesn't even play. Draymond, at least they're doing other things on the court. Klay's doing nothing. He stands there like a freaking moron. He had 1 rebound, 1 assist. That's it. I guess he had 2 stumbling, bumbling, fumbling turnovers, and that was it. It was just a disgusting, sickening performance. If you're missing shots, fine, but make yourself useful in some other ways. Just horrifying. Draymond Green was okay if you played him for Golden State. 12 points, 7 assists, 8 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He was the best player out of those guys. And if you played McCaw, you probably were pretty satisfied with that. I mean, he only took 5 shots, but he was very active. He's 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 11 actual points. And his dirt cheap price, if you played a guy like Abrines, like I did in some lineups over McCaw, you were probably hitting yourself with a gavel or whatever tool you have at home. And by the way, so a couple of you have been kind enough to let me know what you guys throw, because I throw a gavel, obviously, because that's what I have. What do you throw? I mean, I hope it's not a remote control. That's dangerous. When I first started DFS, I was very naive. I was throwing my remote control, and then I broke that a few times. And then once you break a remote control, then you're screwed, because then it's like the 1970s, and you're like, do I have to go up? Can I even go up to the TV? Like, do I press like an up and down button? How do you change the channel? It was very, very confusing for me. I had to call my parents. I'm like, well, what do we do without a remote? So I hope you're not throwing a remote. So let the judge know what item do you throw when you are frustrated. Otherwise, Dream Killers, Dream Lovers for Chicago. Dream Lover was Bobby Portis. If you played Mirotić over him again, which I did, Bobby Portis, I mean, the Bulls traded Taj Gibson allegedly to give Bobby Portis minutes. And then in the first 2 games after the All-Star break, what did they do? They played Mirotić all the minutes in the world. But the last 2 games, now they've given Bobby Portis all the minutes. He got 31 minutes. He was tremendous. He was 6 of 12. The surprising thing to me about Bobby Portis, he has a really good-looking jump shot. Like, he can shoot threes. He was 2 of 4 from 3-point range. So he had 17 actual points, 13 rebounds. And at his price, he was a dream lover. He was in almost every winning lineup that I saw on this slate. So if you played him, congrats. Jimmy Butler had a great bounce-back game, as I mentioned on my short video that I released yesterday. Don't let recency bias get in the way with him. He was an elite play. 22 points, 4 steals, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. He was great. Let's see. Wade was not that good. Didn't shoot well, 5 of 15. probably the reason why Wade probably you probably still made money if you played him was because you played him instead of Klay. Wade was super low owned on this slate because everyone wanted to play Klay, and it made sense why you wanted to play Klay because he was reasonably priced and he's basically has a 32% usage rate without Durant, and he was about $1,000 cheaper than D Wade. But Wade actually was not good, but he was still much better than dirt than the bricklayer, the Klay Thompson, sleepy Klay. Mirotić had a dreadful first half. Actually played well in the second half, but the minutes weren't there. Only 16 minutes, only 5 actual points. Rondo, he was a good play going into this slate. The problem was he got into foul trouble super quick in the first half. So in the third quarter, he came in and was really good as well too. And then for whatever reason, Hoiberg benched Rondo and Mirotić down the stretch and went with other guys. He played Zipline down the stretch and he played Bobby Portis, which you really can't argue the result because the Bulls ended up beating Golden State. But Rondo, dream killer for sure in the slate. Next game up was Charlotte Phoenix. Chicago Golden State had like a 220 over under, and that was 94-87. It was snail emoji, turtle emoji. They were crawling on the court. It was just horrifying because I had so much exposure to that game. And when you roster a game and you see the pace going at that pace, that's maybe the worst thing you could possibly see. Meanwhile, the other two games, they had basically over a 220 over under. Phoenix beat Charlotte. It was close in the first half, and then Phoenix kind of blew them out in the second half. But the score for 120-103 was at Phoenix. And if you played guys from this game, Kemba was good for Charlotte, 10 of 24. So the 24 shots for Kemba, that's a glorious sign because that means his usage rate is going up. That's what we love to see. I love usage rate. So he was 10 for 24, 8 assists, 2 steals, 26 points. If you played him or Lillard over – actually, I think he was even better than Lillard in terms of taking price into account. So if you played him and Westbrook, that probably was the best two point guard duo on this slate. Nick Batum – Not so great because he was shot 3 of 15. That's, 20%? That's not going to get it done. 12 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. So Nick Batum, he's been struggling for a while. Man, remember when I used to call him, they were the Charlotte Batums. Like, what has happened? Charlotte's been struggling for a long time now, but I think I blame myself. I jinxed it. I basically said that how Batum was basically, he was winning me so much money in cash games. He was a cash game staple for probably about a month. And then he's just all of a sudden went in the tank. Other guys for Charlotte, Frank Kaminsky was a big dream killer. The thing, this is the problem with Kaminsky on this slate. And also, this is kind of a modern trend in the NBA these days. We see all these big men who are jacking up threes, playing on the perimeter, which Frank Kaminsky does as the four or the five right now. He shot the ball well. He shot 7 of 14. He had 16 actual points. The problem was, guess how many rebounds he had. Give me a guess. Let's hear it. Give me a number. Did he have 1, 2? No, that's it. Stop at 1. If you're 7 feet tall and you grab 1 rebound, Klay Thompson even got 1 rebound on this slate. Like, I don't know what to do with that. That's Al Horford-esque. That's Robin Lopez-esque. It's just, as a center, man, that's a painful stat to look at. So 1 rebound. You played Frank the Tank. He was over 7K on DraftKings, over 6K. On FanDuel, you played him over Nurkic. You probably wanted to break a gavel like I did. So that didn't work out. Otherwise, for Charlotte, I know a lot – because of three-game slates, I know a lot of us played Bellinelli. A lot of us played Lamb. Bellinelli got the minutes. He got 24 minutes, but neither of those guys panned out at all. Lamb only got 13 minutes. It was a disaster. For Phoenix, it was an interesting night from a Phoenix perspective. Marquese Chris – he got injured real early in the game, early in the first quarter, but then he came back and he played well. He still only got 22 minutes, had 17 points, only 1 rebound, 1 assist. At his price, though, he was okay. TJ Warren, I mean, and also this game was a blowout as well, so that's also why some of the minutes are a little misleading. TJ Warren only got 27 minutes. He shot great, only 8 of 11, 16 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks. He was good on this slate. Alex Len was a big dream killer, a big soul crusher for me. Only played 16 minutes. They're not playing Tyson Chandler at all. So you would think that they'd want to give Len all the opportunity in the world to see maybe he can be the next Jokic and Nurkic. Maybe you can add Lennon there. But Earl Watson clearly has other ideas. Not to mention Williams played great off the bench for them. 16 points, 12 rebounds. So you played him. Congrats. Other than that, I mean, Leandro freaking Barbosa had a good game for Phoenix. I object to that. Well, that's disgusting. You know what? Dream killer for Barbosa. Dream killer. I don't care if you. I mean, if you played Barbosa, send me a screenshot of that lineup. Unbelievable. Bledsoe was dirt cheap, by the way, on DraftKings, but he only got 30 minutes. He was good. He just didn't get enough minutes to truly crush value. 15 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. So I don't know. If you played him, probably didn't kill your lineup. Then OKC Portland. This was a juicy game in terms of fantasy goodness because on the Portland side, four guys get all the minutes in the world these days. And at this point, especially on like a small slate, sometimes, man, if you can just pick the right guys who get the minutes. Now, granted, on every slate, you want to get the guys who get minutes, but sometimes it's just hard to do. But especially with Terry Stotts, I mean, when you have Terry Stotts' team being the one that's the most consistent rotation, what kind of world are we living in? That's a world that I don't want to live in, man. But McCollum, 34 minutes, Lillard, 38 minutes, Nurkic, 38 minutes, Harkless, 34 minutes, and Aminu, 32 minutes. Who's a dream lover? Terry Stotts is a dream lover. That's fantastic. Now, that's something we can take advantage of. Let's just hope that he sticks with that the rest of the season. So Lillard was really good again. Judy has decided to play last couple games. 33 points, 11 for 23 from the floor, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Nurkic was extraordinary. I mean, man, 7 of 10 from the floor, 18 points, 5 blocks, 2 steals, 6 assists, because you can initiate offense to him. I mean, he's such a good passer, and 12 rebounds. Harkless was not that good, but he's still so cheap, and he has such a low, even though he has a bad usage rate, he does other things. So he had 10 actual points, 9 rebounds, 1 steal, and that was probably good enough to make you some money on this slate. So he played those guys. He probably did pretty well. McCollum did not shoot that well, so at his price, he wasn't great. But anyone was better than Clay, and he probably was even a little bit better than D-Wade on the slate. For OKC, this was a bizarre game, man, because OKC, they started Westbrook, Abreen, Adams, Roberson, and Sabonis. But out of the blue, hashtag those we don't speak of played 37 minutes. Doug McDermott played 37 minutes. Wow. He wasn't that good. He was the hashtag those we don't speak of. If you watched him play, it looked very familiar. Him missing shots. He shot 4 of 12 from the floor, only had 9 points. So he wasn't very productive, but he does space the floor for Westbrook. He is one of their better shooters. So he got all the minutes in the world. Sabonis, I don't know why are they starting Sabonis? How many coaches? There's got to be at least 4 or 5 coaches that have these token starters that start guys and then play them like 8 or 10 minutes. I don't know why any coach does that. Spoelstra does it with Babbitt. You know, Billy Donovan does it with Sabonis. Earl Watson did it with Alex Len on Thursday. It happens all the time. I don't really understand the rationale behind it. Start your best players. Start your freaking best players. Anyway, Taj Gibson played 33 minutes. He was Taj Gibson, so he put 15 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. The blocks and the steals were a little out of the blue, but you played him at his price, especially on like DraftKings where he was dirt cheap. You probably won some decent money. Westbrook was even a dream lover. You had to have him on the slate. Quite honestly, he shot the ball horrifically. 12 of 36, took 36 shots. You know how many shots the rest of the starting lineup took? 11. Abreen only played 10. So Donovan played 2 of his starters, only 10 minutes. Abreen and Sabonis. I don't know why he started either of those two, but he's just trolling all of us. And yes, I know, I can already see the tweets. Abreen had 5 fouls, whatever. So Abreen took 3 shots. Steven Adams only got 24 minutes. Because Enes Kanter was excellent again off the bench. 18 points, 10 rebounds in 28 minutes. This is like the third or fourth straight game that Adams has been played like less than 30 minutes and done almost nothing on the court. Not to mention when Adams was in there, Portland was destroying OKC. So I'm not sure what to make of that. So if you played Steven Adams, you were probably pretty pissed, especially because he was a little more expensive than Nurkic. But Westbrook was phenomenal, 12 of 36. He had over a 50% usage rate, 45 actual points, one block, one steal, four assists, eight rebounds. Now, if you played – if Westbrook had that stat line on like Friday slate, he would probably would have been a dream killer because I think he only had around 60 Fando points, and that's not going to be enough on a 10-11 game slate. But was it enough on a three-game slate? Yes, it was. Because of opportunity cost, you probably needed him in your lineup. All right, that's it for those three weird – it was a wacky night, man, those three games. So we have, what do we have? A 10-game slate on Friday. So where are we? Remember, the slate dictates what we do. We are in Tokyo. Konnichiwa, my friends. So why are we in Tokyo? Because Tokyo is the number three city in the world for single people because there are attractive people, options galore. If you're a single male or a single female, you can choose between millions and millions of beautiful people. If you're looking for a relationship. And for this DFS slate, on this slate, 10 games, we have options galore. On every position, there are beautiful picks to be had. You don't have to force anyone in your lineup on a 10-game slate. All right, so injury news, not a ton so far. Now, obviously, that will change before lineup lock, but as of now, it was 4:27 Eastern in the morning on early Friday morning or late Thursday night, however you want to look at it. Not a ton of injury news. Hernan Gomez is still going to be questionable, or actually looks like he's doubtful with a left ankle. The Knicks, I think they started Porzingis at the five last game. So like Lance Thomas was starting at the four, Carmelo at the three, and Zingas at the five, and Kyle O'Quinn came off the bench, only got like 19 minutes. So I could see that happening again for the Knicks. Gerald Henderson is questionable. So, oh God, if you... Man, I can already see all the questions coming in about playing Stauskas. Ugh, I want to bang my head with my gavel. I don't have a gavel, and now I don't have a gavel for Friday, so I don't know what the hell to do. It'd be very weird watching games without my gavel. I did FedEx it overnight. I need my gavel. Deion Waiters is questionable for Miami. Josh Richardson, maybe? He came to life last game. CJ Watson, questionable for Orlando. Beasley still out for Milwaukee, so... I played Brogdon and Middleton two nights ago, and I won a lot of money. Could I see that again? Maybe on this slate. J.J. Barea still out with a calf. Wesley Matthews still out with a hip. Rodney Hood is going to be out for Utah, which Andy Larson, the Utah Jazz beat writer, did not tell me yesterday. Andy, how dare you, Andy, not tell me that? And Oladipo is questionable again with back spasms. All right, let's take a little trip to Vegas, shall we? A little flight. Maybe let's go by train today to Vegas. Actually, we can't. We're in Tokyo, my bad. So Tokyo must have like gambling sites, right? Yeah, let's just stay in Tokyo and let's find a casino in Tokyo. There's got to be beautiful casinos in Tokyo, you would think. But I would probably need like an interpreter though. All right, so this is a weird slate. Because there's no game with a massive over-under. So to me, I kind of like that. In terms of games, though, that we want to avoid, there's one. For cash games, you can just exit off. You can spit on it. You can, you know, throw whatever tool you want at it. It's Memphis-Dallas. 190 over-under. This may be just think of all the horrifying things in the world and then throw this game right in there with that. Ooh, that is going to be painful to watch. If you're really mad at someone, let's say maybe you're in a fight with your spouse or your kids or whoever, you make them watch that game tomorrow. You say, that's your punishment. 2.5 hours, Memphis-Dallas. Although I will say lately, Dallas has been somewhat fun to watch with Yogi, with Nerlens, with Seth Curry playing well. San Antonio-New Orleans, another game. Do I feel the need to go that route in cash games? Not really. A 207 over-under, which is fine. But, eh. I don't know. Miami, Orlando. I still like the Orlando guys. Evan Fournier is still so dirt cheap. He's safe for all formats. In terms of the top over-under of the night, you got the Knicks at Philly, 216. Oh, it's my bad. Well, that game's good. 216 over-under. Boston Lakers, 220 over-under. Boston's a 7.5-point favorite. The game is in Los Angeles, which is good. And as we saw last game, Luke Walton, he gave Russell and Randall lots of minutes. If those two guys get minutes, especially Russell against Isaiah Thomas defense, he could go nuts. And fat gravy juice Randall, you can attack Boston bigs. I've made a living off of it. So both those guys are elite tournament plays on this slate. There's a game that's sticking out at me, and it's Clippers Bucks 213 over under. Also, you have Cleveland Atlanta 214 over under, which I like. But man, I honestly think you guys are lucky I didn't do a podcast yesterday, because man, just watching the whole podcast would have been a rant about the Clippers last game when they got destroyed by Houston. Houston beat their living brains out, and I've never seen a team melt and just whine and cry, and just it was such a disgraceful performance by the Clippers on Wednesday night. And I would have been ranting and raving like a lunatic about that game. Not to mention I had Blake Griffin in every single one of my lineups. And while I still was able to win a lot of money that night, and Blake had like 19 FanDuel points after the first quarter, and he had 2 FanDuel points total in the second and third quarter. It was just such a bizarre game. I mean, Patrick Beverley, which he got under the skin of every player on that team. James Harden was just clowning those guys. Ryan Anderson was big bullying Blake Griffin. Like I remember on the podcast on Tuesday, I was saying, yeah, I don't see how Ryan Anderson's going to be able to defend Blake. It was the other way around. Like Ryan Anderson had more FanDuel points than Blake Griffin. Like Blake could not stay with Ryan Anderson on 3-point line. Ryan Anderson got so many wide open 3-pointers, and it's one of the rare occasions where he actually was making his shot. But like also on defense, he was able to defend Blake really well down low. And it was just, I was like, it was like a twilight zone. I mean, what the hell is going on? Anyway, I digress. So teams I want to attack on pace for Friday. Wow, I didn't mention this game. I didn't mention this game because there's no over-under yet. I guess we're waiting on, what, Rodney Hood injury news is that big that we can't have an over-under on Brooklyn, Utah? Oh, wow. Also, there's no over-under on OKC, Phoenix. So that's going to be the highest over-under of the night. Whenever there is an over-under on that game and a spread and a line, that's going to be a monster game to attack. But right now, as of now, there's no over-under. So Brooklyn, Utah playing way up in pace. Obviously, Utah Jazz guys will be in play on this slate. And now that all of us hopefully listen to the podcast with Andy Larson, the beat writer, we know what to do. OKC playing up in pace against Phoenix. The Knicks playing up in pace a little bit against Philly. And really, that's about it. I mean, Boston a little bit against the Lakers as well. All right, let's hop into the plays. The top plays of the day. Yeah, I don't have the best singing voice in the world. I'm always super jealous when I see like guys who can like serenade their girlfriends or their wives or whatever who can sing really well. I'm not very artistic. I'm like, man, like I hate it as a kid. The class I hated the most was like art class or music class. Just man, ugh, I hated it. I would dread going to art class so freaking much. All right. So on this slate, remember, we're in Tokyo, options everywhere. Beautiful women keep winking at me all over the place. I'm getting distracted doing the show. Westbrook is playing Phoenix, as I just mentioned, in this beautiful, it's going to have a glorious over-under. I would guess it's going to be over to what? I'd guess around, what, 224, something like that? Maybe right around there, 222. But Westbrook's $13,000 on FanDuel, at least. On DraftKings, he is, wow, he's the same thing. He's 13.1K on DraftKings. That's crazy expensive. So now he has to give you like 65 FanDuel or DK points to hit value. Is he going to do that? I don't know. Can he do it? Of course. But am I going to use him in cash games on this Tokyo slate? Probably not. Although it is a juicy matchup, I'll have some tournament exposure for sure. But I don't think you need to do it unless he does put up 80 FanDuel points. I think you can still easily take down a GPP without him. The thing that I will say, in the last two games, Westbrook has had a usage rate, get ready for this, over 50%, which is not allowed. It's just ridiculous. And ridiculous is just not doing it justice. John Wall, 9.9K. I like the fact that John Wall's price has finally come down a little bit because, man, he's super safe. He's always a good cash game play for the most part. The problem is out of the last 10 games, 11 games, 12 games, I don't know, maybe the last month, I think I've only seen him in the winning GPP lineup once. And that was against Philly where he put up 58 FanDuel points. So that's not even six times value or six times his salary. So he gets Toronto. He gets Corey Joseph defense. Washington's playing tremendous basketball right now. I like all of their players. I don't feel the need, though, to play Wall in this slate. I'll play him a little bit. And when I do, remember, if you play a Wall, if you play a Rubio, if you play a guy that, if he's going to do well, it's going to be because he's going to get 15 assists. It makes sense to put another guy in there. So I will play Wall, and I'll probably team up with either a Beal or a guy like Gortat or maybe a Markeith. But, Wall's fine. You can do it for any format you want, but I just don't think you need to in this slate. Isaiah Thomas, 9.8K. He gets the Lakers. So I love stacking this game. I love using a Russell-Isaiah Thomas lineup. Isaiah is pretty similar to John Wall, except his floor is not as high as John Wall, and the ceiling is about the same. Except the problem with Isaiah is he's only given you 50 FanDuel points once in the last month, and that's what he has to do. And he's a one-trick pony, whereas John Wall is not. Now, because of the matchup, because of the pace, I will use Isaiah in tournaments, but it's hard to envision him giving you – for him to put up a 60 FanDuel point night at that price, he would have to score like 50 actual points. That's why playing these one-trick ponies, when the prices get jacked up, it's just hard to do. Chris Paul is 9.6K. Chris Paul was one of the few Clippers who did somewhat okay against the Rockets, but even he was frustrating as well, and he was whining like a baby like he always does on the court. I'm so tired of watching the Clippers play. Ugh, they're just so – man, whatever. And now the Clippers are in a slow down game against the Bucks. I do think because they were embarrassed, and I love recency bias, so I do think you're going to get guys like Chris Paul pretty much low owned on this slate. I don't mind him. I think his floor is pretty safe, even at that price. And the usage rate, it's fine. It's 29%. His price on DraftKings is better. It's 9K on DraftKings, so I like him a little better on DraftKings. And if another guy, if I play him, I will team him up with like a DeAndre Jordan because you're playing him because he's going to get hopefully 10, 12 assists. Kyrie Irving is 9K. Kyrie Irving gets Dennis Schroeder defense. That's elite defense, elite matchup. His usage rate right now is 32%. I think that's 32. That's on the season. It's probably even a little bit higher without Kevin Love. So I probably prefer Kyrie over any point guard I just mentioned in terms of cash games. Do I think he has the highest upside out of the other guys, out of everyone so far? Maybe not necessarily, but Dennis Schroeder defense is just tough to pass up. Bledsoe, I love the matchup. I love attacking Westbrook. I do it every night. Whoever is playing Westbrook, I play the other guy. So on Thursday, I played Damian Lillard. He came through for me. Because Westbrook, if you have a 50% usage rate on the offensive end, obviously defensively you are going to be tired. So Bledsoe only played 25 minutes on Thursday. He's in a good spot. He's always overlooked. His salary on DraftKings is 8.5K. By the way, Kyrie's only 8.4K on DraftKings. So I love Kyrie on DraftKings. Bledsoe, though, can't do it for cash games. For tournaments, of course. Mike Conley, 7.7K. It's fine. It's boring. But this Memphis-Dallas game, I just don't see the need to really torture myself. Dragic is 7.6K. I'm not going to do Dragic for cash right now because he only got 23 minutes last game. Josh Richardson's back. Tyler Johnson played really well last game. So Dragic is fine. I do like the matchup for single entry tournaments and GPPs because Alfred Payton is similar to Dennis Schroeder. He's some of the worst defense you can ever see. That's why Alfred Payton got benched earlier this year and continues to still some games get benched. Also, Alfred Payton, he's another guy he's a tin man, he's a Magic Mountain, and he falls asleep on the court. So Dragic has a good matchup. I like him for tournaments. Jrue Holiday, Cousins is going to be back, so I don't feel the need to force Holiday in my lineups at that price. Dennis Schroeder, 6.5K. It's fine because I'm in Tokyo. I don't feel the need to do it. This is a 4 or 5-game slate. I probably have a lot more Dennis Schroeder on a 10-game slate. Yeah, it's okay. Kyrie Irving defense is something I do like to attack. So for tournaments, and I will have a little mini stack of that game and have a lineup with Kyrie and Dennis Schroeder for sure. If you want to go to prison, you can play Derrick Rose. I just saw an article in the New York Post, I think it was, where he's whining about playing the triangle. He's like, I guess I have no choice, right? Well, Derek, did you have a choice when you went home and you went AWOL on the team about a couple weeks ago or a month ago, whenever that was? So if you want to play a criminal, Derrick Rose is sitting there for you. Whatever. He'll probably somehow stumble and bumble and fumble his way to 25, 30 Fando points. D'Angelo Russell, elite play, elite play, elite play. Man, I love attacking Isaiah Thomas. He's 4 feet tall. He can't defend anyone. Yes, he's fearless on the offensive end, but defensively, sometimes I just giggle watching guys like post him up or just abuse him defensively. So I love Russell. The most important thing I love, two of our last three games, he's gotten 36 minutes. Now, I don't know if this is Magic Johnson becoming the GM or why all of a sudden Luke Walton's giving him the minutes. This should have been happening all year long. If he's going to get 36 minutes at that price against Isaiah Thomas and his usage rate is around 30%, sign me up. George Hill. So if you listen to the podcast with Andy Larson, he explained to us that George Hill is playing with this knot on the bottom portion of his foot, and is really painful. And it's a lot of the reason why he's been struggling lately. You look at his numbers, you watch Utah play, and he has not been explosive. He started off the year tremendous, but now Utah does get Brooklyn. So I think a lot of the Utah guys, like a George Hill, pretty safe for cash games. I'm trying to think who else would be, guys like Joe Ingles, because Ronnie Hood's going to be out. He's probably safe for all formats. So I don't mind Hood on this slate. It's hard to be super excited given the fact that he has this big knot in his foot. And Utah should destroy Brooklyn as well. But if you want to do it, if you want to have at least, one mini stack of this Utah game, or one mini stack of using like two, three Utah guys, because Utah's playing so much up in pace, you can do it. Tyler Johnson, 5.8K. I mean, it's hard. So for me, when I'm making my lineups, I say to myself, what's my goal? If I'm doing cash game, I just want to cash. So Tyler Johnson to me would be okay for cash games, but on a 10 game slate, he probably would not be. But so when I'm building my tournament lineups, I say to myself, can I envision this guy being hitting 6-7 times his salary and being in the winning GPP lineup? And the answer to Tyler Johnson is probably no. I can't really see him giving me 35 to 40 Fando points. I think 35 would be his max. So you can do it. He's in a good spot. And if you do need to save at point guard, I guess you can do worse. But it's just given, remember, I'm in Tokyo, so I don't feel the need to do it. Jeremy Lin, not against Utah, plus not enough minutes anyway. Yogi Ferrell, not against Memphis. Brogdon. So Brogdon's only 5.2K. He played 34 minutes against Denver. He got 29 Fando points, and he didn't even play well. He struggled. He grinded his way to 29 Fando points. If he's starting again, not the best matchup in the world against the Clippers, the over-under. What is the over-under for that game? Is it 213, something like that? 213, which is pretty ambitious. You have two slow-paced teams. But to me, safe for all formats, as long as he's going to start. Remember, they have no one to score right now besides Giannis, and Giannis has been very passive lately. He's like, Middleton is probably he might be the number one option right now, Middleton, especially if Giannis wants to keep taking naps on the court. So Brogdon, to me, safe for all formats at that price. Corey Joseph, 5K. The last two games have not been impressive for him. Toronto did get blown up by the Wizards, though. I still think he's safe for all formats. I really do. He doesn't have a massive ceiling at that price. Remember, it's Corey Joseph. So I would like him better at 4K, but he's going to get, as long as that game stays close, he'll get a lot of minutes. He's okay. I'm not doing didn't doodle, spin my friddle, whatever Spencer is for Brooklyn against Utah. Dellavedova is 3.9K. That's about it. All right, shooting guard. By the way, pardon me. Talk amongst yourselves. I must get a new water. I mean, my voice is super hoarse. I'll be back. Don't worry. I'm not leaving you guys. All right. Anyway, at least you guys made it to the weekend, right? It's Friday. Hopefully you guys have good plans. What are you guys doing? Anything cool? Going to the discotheque? Going to the clubs? Hanging with the wife? Maybe it's movie night for you guys? Man, doing a solo show, it is hard. Man, just talking to myself, talking to this blank computer screen. All right. Shooting guard. So Giannis is 10.8K. The issue that I've seen with him the last two games, and I've watched the entire Bucks game from start to finish, he has not been aggressive. I don't get it. Parker's out. Can someone like tell him that Jabari Parker is out for the year and he needs to be aggressive and shoot the ball? His usage rate should be going up. Instead, it's going down, and I don't understand it. And he has not been playing well and has not looked aggressive. And the Bucks as a team have also looked disastrous. Against the Clippers, I would not touch him in cash games. I don't know. I mean, can he snap out of this? There's nothing wrong with him. I don't know if he just hit a wall or what the deal is. He's still very expensive. To me, it's almost too expensive. The price should come down. I don't know why it's not down. On DraftKings, it's better. It's 10K, but that's too expensive for me on a 10-game slate. If I have 10 lineups, I'd probably play him in maybe two in tournaments. DeMar DeRozan, 9.9K. Same issue I say with him all the time. The problem is now at 8K, he was great without Lowry. He does have a 40% usage rate without Kyle Lowry, so he's fine. But, if you play guys like him and Isaiah on this slate, they need, because they're one-trick ponies, they need to give you like 40, 50 actual points. Can they do it? Yes, but it's not likely. Now, Bradley Beal in that same Toronto-Washington game, Bradley Beal 7.4K. Could Bradley Beal outscore DeRozan? Yes, and Beal's 2.5K cheaper. So give me Bradley Beal every day of the week. Devin Booker, 6.2K. I like this matchup for Devin Booker. His price has come down because he hasn't been that great since the All-Star break, and that's because TJ Warren has gotten more minutes. So Devin Booker's usage rate has went down. But the minutes have not went down, and that's the best sign. Also, Oladipo's out, so he's probably going to get some Alex Abrine or Doug McDermott defense. So Booker's, he was over 7K for a long stretch. Now we're getting him at a very reasonable price, safe for all formats. Seth Curry, I want to play him, but in that Memphis-Dallas game, it's hard to play anyone. He's 6.2K. That's not cheap. I guess if there is one Dallas guy to play, I guess it would be Seth Curry. In tournaments, you can feel free to play a couple guys there because they're all going to – I mean, these guys are going to be super low-owned in that game, and rightfully so. Evan Fournier, I mean, I locked and loaded him already in my cash games. He's 5.3K. His price is just not going up. And, yes, he has not been great, but 38 minutes, 34 minutes, 38, 34, 36, the last five games, he's basically a lock. His floor is like 20 Fando points right around there, and – that's a nice floor to have at that price. And he does have a ceiling of like 35, 40 fandom points if he's making his stupid shot. So in Orlando, they need guys to score. So to me, safe for all formats. Marcus Smart, his price has dropped, rightfully so, because Avery Bradley's back. He's at 5K. He's somewhat intriguing to me. He still gets like 30 minutes a night. So at 5K, you can play him. I think he's got a decent floor. Now he gets the Lakers. I don't mind that play. Courtney Lee, believe it or not, I know he's the man without a usage rate. He stands in a corner. The two guys who Coach Hornacek has been praising like relentlessly lately has been Courtney Lee and especially Lance Thomas. So those two busters are going to get lots of minutes because those two guys are really the only two Knicks who attempt to play defense. So Courtney Lee at 5K, I don't love it because – what's the ceiling? But if you want to do it, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I would have said, I'm going to come to your house, hit you with a gavel. One, I don't have my gavel right now because I broke it. Two, I wouldn't hit you with a gavel anymore. I probably would just say why or something like that. But if you do it, I get it. Other than that, JJ Redick's dirt cheap. I don't mind him. If you want to throw him in a cash game, LeVert, maybe not against Utah, but he's dirt cheap. Nick Stauskas, I can already see the tweets coming in about him because Gerald Henderson's out. he's going to get, I don't know, close to 30 minutes, maybe more. So at his price, maybe small forward, LeBron. Everyone seems like still sleep on LeBron, and he's just so good, and he's so safe. So I don't care what slate it is. To me, you can always use LeBron any format you want. Does he have the upside to truly help you take down a tournament? I don't know if he does, but he's going to play 40 minutes because it's madness. Kevin Love's out. He's got a great usage rate. He's the point guard of that team, so he's going to flirt with a triple-double. Now, normally I'd probably worry a little bit about Cephalosha defense. LeBron is matchup-proof, so that doesn't concern me. The price, though, it's not cheap, so the price worries me a little bit. So safe for all formats, but you don't have to do it on this slate. And I should note, on DraftKings, he's 11.2K, so even more expensive on DraftKings. Now, Kawhi is 9K, so Kawhi is almost $2,000 cheaper than LeBron. And Kawhi on DraftKings is 8.8K. So you can save almost, what, $2,000 to play Kawhi. Could Kawhi have as many FanDuel or DraftKings points as LeBron? Yeah. Is it likely? Probably not. I'd probably put it, you know, the odds 75% LeBron has, you know, outscores Kawhi. But Kawhi, I think, is safe for all formats at that price. It's a very, very fair price for Kawhi, 9K. Carmelo, tournaments only for me. Porzingis is back. I don't want to play Carmelo. One trick pony. I don't want to roster him. I don't want to watch the Knicks. They disgust me. They sicken me. Man, on Wednesday, I watched the whole Knicks-Orlando game. That game was just petrifying as well. But if you want to do Melo, you can do it in a tournament. Gordon Hayward's 8K. I'll play a little Gordon against Brooklyn just because they are playing so much up in pace. But I don't know. I mean, Brooklyn somehow does tend to stay in these games, even though Coach Atkinson plays 12 guys. They each get 18 to 22 minutes a game, and it drives you absolutely up a wall. Hayward's okay. The thing about Utah, they got to win games because they're trying to get the 4 seed. Covington, 7.2K. I love Covington and Saric, and I will love them probably every day the rest of the season. Embiid's out for the year. Covington and Saric, they have nice, safe floors, and they also have really high ceilings. And that's what I love for cash games and tournaments. And playing the Knicks. Knicks don't play any defense. I'm not sure who Lance Thomas is going to guard. I could see Lance Thomas guarding Saric or Covington. But whatever. It's Lance Thomas. That does not concern me the more I think about it. No, it does not. Harrison Barnes, again, yeah, not in, against Memphis. Don't really want that. He'll probably still bumble and fumble his way to 25 FanDuel points. Jay Crowder, 6.1K. Avery Bradley's still not getting a ton of minutes. So Crowder's fine for cash games, I think. Against the Lakers, why not? Does he have a monster ceiling? No, he does not. So for tournaments, do I love it? No, I don't. TJ Warren. Now, that one, do I love for tournaments? I do. Will he get Cephalosha defense? I'm not sure. I could see – or sorry, not Cephalosha. Roberson. I mean, for OKC – I mean, they could put Roberson – honestly, they could put Roberson on Bledsoe part of the game. They could put him on Booker. They could put him on Warren. I'm not sure who Roberson's going to defend. But TJ Warren at 5.4K, he still has some upside. And since All-Star break, all the minutes are there, so it seems to be a pretty safe floor too. That's a very fair price for him. I don't mind that. Chris Middleton, 5.3K. He was really good. I watched the entire Bucks game last time out. He was their best player by far against Denver. 31 minutes, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 36 FanDuel points. He was great. Right now, they're still holding him out of back-to-backs. As long as he's still going to get 30 minutes a night at that price, you know what? Safe for all formats. That's right. I'm making a ruling. I'm fine with it. The Bucks, they're dying for scorers. I mean, they offensively – I mean, Tony Snell is one of their better options right now. That's how pathetic the Bucks are offensively right now. Terrence Ross, 4.9K. Look, the minutes are still there, and Orlando and Milwaukee are somewhat similar in that they cannot score. They need scoring. So Terrence Ross, he still got 37 minutes against the Knicks. He just couldn't make a shot. Also, he didn't get a ton of shots. which was, it was weird to watch Terrence Ross play and not jack the ball up every time he touched it. He still got you 16 Fando points at his dirt cheap price. That's not horrible. He has a really high upside. So to me, a really good tournament play. Do you need to use him in cash on this slate? Not really, but I know it sounds weird to say because we are in Tokyo on a 10-game slate, but I think you could do it, man. Like Fournier and Ross, you can use those guys. They are playing us in a slowdown pace against Miami, though, and there's better options, so you don't have to. Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, he'll get 20 minutes, and then you won't know why because I don't know why. No one knows why. Coach doesn't know why. It's just bizarre. Kent Bazemore, 4.4K. He got 30 minutes last game. It's about the best thing I can say about Kent Bazemore. I did mention Lance Thomas. He's going to get lots of minutes for the Knicks. He's 4.1K. He'll probably find a way to give you 20 Fando points. So if you need a, you know, a dirt cheap guy in that price range, you can do it. Brandon Ingram, I will still be stubborn and play Brandon Ingram at 3.8K because he's getting close to 40 minutes a night. He got 42 minutes last game. He will bumble, stumble, and fumble his way into 20 Fando points. That's like his floor, I think, if he's going to get 40 minutes. Now, you can say, and rightfully so, that's pretty bad, pretty poor if you're only getting 20 Fando points in 42 minutes. I agree. One of these games, he's going to bust out. I mean, it's weird. He actually did a lot of good things for Lakers if you watch that game. It just didn't show up in the box score. It's so cheap and it's so many minutes. I would just, if he goes nuts, I will hate myself, never forgive myself. So I will play a little bit of him. And then Joe Ingles, because Rodney Hood is out. Joe Ingles for Utah is going to start. He's 3.7K. If you want to have a lineup and punt it with Ingles and Ingram, a double I lineup. And then you can load up and play all the stars in the world. You can get Westbrook. You can get Giannis. You can Cousins, whoever you want. I don't hate that. Let's see. Power forward. Anthony Davis, 10.9K. The problem is his price went way up because Cousins was out for one game, and now Cousins is coming back. So against the Spurs, tournaments only. Blake Griffin, man, Blake was so bad. I can't get that image out of my head against Houston. Ryan Anderson beat him up. He was bullied by Ryan Anderson. But remember, recency bias and playing the Bucks. What do we do from the Bucks? We attack the Bucks at bigs. So I do like him a lot for tournaments on this late. Paul Millsap, 7.5K. I don't play him in cash anymore. To me, he's not a cash game player at this stage. Watching the Hawks too many times. His usage rate's too low. They don't give him the ball enough. They should, but they don't. So tournaments only. But I like the matchup. I don't mind it against Cleveland. I love the price on him. It's a very fair price, especially, and he's a nice pivot in tournaments because everyone's going to play Saric, and you should play Saric because Saric is 7.3K against the Knicks. Against Miami, he struggled a little bit, although Philly got blown out against Miami because Miami is basically the new Golden State, and they kill everyone, which if someone can explain that to me, I would be inclined. But before that game, look at Saric's last handful of games or so. This is phenomenal. 40, 41, 39, 34, 35, 37, 43 Fando points. What does that scream? That screams consistency monster. It also screams cash game play. You know what else it screams? Tournament play. You know what else it screams? Safe for all formats. Serge Ibaka. I got to eat my own words because he's been pretty good. Two or less three games giving you 38 Fando points. He was the only player who played well against Washington last game out. By the way, this is like a home and home? Because, yeah, Toronto played Washington on Wednesday, and now they're playing Washington again. But this time, it looks like at Washington, right? Where the other game must have been in Toronto. So... To me, you know what? It's still too expensive. I would rather play Saric. And for tournaments, I'd rather play Millsap, quite honestly. It's so weird. Sometimes like I'll be like giving you guys my picks, and then in my head, I'm like questioning it, I'm doubting it. And at, you know, So I'm reworking the Serge Ibaka one because Kyle Lowry's out. I'm thinking about the usage rate. I'm thinking about Markieff Morris if he gets ejected. I'm overruling myself. I don't mind Serge Ibaka. I still prefer Saric. I probably still prefer Millsap a little bit in tournaments, but I don't mind Ibaka. Markieff Morris, I don't know. I don't know what to do with Markieff Morris. His price tag, I never play him at that price because I don't think he has much upside. So I quite honestly, I would prefer Serge without Kyle Lowry to Markieff. Porzingis, I am stubborn, so I like playing guys with upside. So I will still play Porzingis. Porzingis was good against Orlando. He had 35 FanDuel points, and now at that price, that's better than five times the salary. So against Philly, good matchup because you attack Philly big men these days, especially Okafor. And if Porzingis is going to play the five and start at the five, which I have a feeling he will, that means he gets Okafor defense. And that means he could be in for a monster day in terms of rebounding, blocks, easy buckets. He can take Okafor out on the perimeter. Okafor will have no chance against Porzingis. So it's actually a pretty sneaky play on this slate. Julius Randle, 6.3K. I love it for tournaments because I love attacking Boston bigs. I'm not sure if I'm ready to trust in cash games yet. Enes Kanter has been tremendous ever since coming back from injury. He was excellent again on Thursday. Man, his minutes have been really good. It's like the high 20s. They need scoring. Another team, like the Bucks, like Orlando, they need scoring. Besides Westbrook, OKC has no one to score. So when Kanter comes in with that second unit, they feed him every time. So against Phoenix, man, really juicy matchup. It's tough to say safe for all formats with Enes Kanter on a 10-game slate living in Tokyo or just vacationing in Tokyo because I guess I'm coming back to the States after this game. So probably single-entry tournaments only, but elite matchup. Nerlens Noel, he is going to start for Dallas, but it's against Memphis, so probably not. Derek Favors intrigues me a little bit, although as Andy Larson explained to us, Favors, he's not a big part of that offense anymore because, Rudy Gobert. It's 5 a.m. I'm tired, guys. With the emergence of Rudy Gobert, they run so much. They used to run a bunch of pick and rolls with, Gordon Hayward and Derek Favors, or I guess this year it could have been George Hill and Derek Favors. But because Gobert is so much more efficient at running the pick and roll, they run them all with Gobert now, and they don't want to run them with Favors. Also, it's tough to have a Gobert and Favors, those two kind of 7-footers or two big men who can't shoot on the floor at the same time. So that's part of the reason why Favors is still banged up. So it's kind of why he hasn't had a great year. But at 5K against Brooklyn, this is a juicy spot. So it's not safe, but you can do it in like a tournament. Other than that, you got Rashawn Holmes, you got Marquise Chris. I like those two guys for tournaments. And that's about it. All right, center. Cousins is 9.9K. Very fair price. So he's $1,000 cheaper than Anthony Davis coming off a suspension. He should be motivated. The Pelicans got to win games. Do I like it for cash games? Hell no. But since he's been back since he's been on the Pelicans, he's been good. He has not been the problem. So I don't mind it for tournaments. Whiteside, is Whiteside sick? I guess he was held out of practice with a stomach ailment. Oh, so Whiteside's questionable, it looks like. That sucks. If Whiteside plays against Orlando, elite matchup. And I can already tell you, even before we get to Vucevic, I'll just say it now. Over his career, Vucevic destroys Miami. He destroys Whiteside. And Whiteside's not a good on-ball defender anyway. So I like Whiteside in that matchup against Vucevic because Vucevic's one of the worst five defensive centers in the NBA. You can make a case he's the worst. So I love Whiteside. I especially love Vucevic because Vucevic is 1.6K cheaper, at least on FanDuel. So if Whiteside doesn't play, I'll actually be sad because I'm not sure who's going to defend Vucevic, but probably will be a little bit of a tougher matchup for Vucevic, that is. But either way, Vucevic, safe on this slate, safe for all formats. Whiteside tournaments only. DeAndre Jordan, I like this play. I like a Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan lineup. You can attack the Bucks bigs, so he should grab every rebound in the world. And the Clippers are in a bounce-back spot. Rudy Gobert against Brooklyn. To me, this is a good spot for him, too. The problem is no offensive game. So him and DeAndre Jordan are basically in similar spots. Man, it's hard choosing between those two. DeAndre Jordan's got a elite matchup but bad pace. Rudy Gobert has elite pace and elite matchup. So maybe Gobert a little bit over Jordan on this slate. But I like both those guys. I mentioned my love of Vucevic. Dwight Howard's fine. He's boring, but he'll probably somehow find a way to give you close to 30, 35 FanDuel points. He's been pretty good. The problem is he never plays more than 32 minutes anymore. Greg Monroe, the Bucks need scores, so Greg Monroe's probably going to play. He should play 30 minutes. He'll get 24, and at that price, is that enough? Probably not. Steven Adams, it's a mystery. He's been struggling, and all the minutes seem to be going to Cantor. Even when Adams plays, he has no usage rate whatsoever. Al Horford, he's been struggling forever, and then he out of the blue against Cleveland, he had like a close to a triple-double. The problem was he still only had like 36 FanDuel points. So he doesn't get many shots. Usage rate is so bad. He stands in a corner. He had 10 rebounds last game, which was a minor miracle because he's standing out on the perimeter so much, he doesn't really get a lot of rebounds. Against the Lakers, though, everyone kills the Lakers. You attack the Lakers at every position. So I don't mind it. Let's see. Okafor. So Okafor gets the Knicks. Okafor is one of the worst players in the NBA, in my opinion. He should not be starting. If you told me he's out of the league in like 3 years, I totally could see that. He's just, when you watch him play, again, I mean, granted, the only time I've seen him look good, it was maybe about a week ago, if less. You know who was against? The Knicks. He destroyed the Knicks for 28 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 42 FanDuel points. So he gets the Knicks on Friday. Now, am I going to be the only one that is aware of that? No. So he's probably going to be higher on than he should be. But the Knicks all year long have struggled to defend center. So because of the matchup, and his price is still very fair, I don't mind him on this slate. I still hate him in real life. That will not change. But remember, the slate dictates what I do. The slate tells me that Okafor is a nice cheap play at center on Friday. Allen Williams, you can play him if you want. I don't think you need to do it on a 10-game slate. Kylo Quinn, if he's not going to start, if they're starting Porzingis at the five, you know, what's he going to give you, 20 minutes? He's always a fantasy point-per-minute guy, so you can play him in tournaments, but if he's not starting, you can't do it in cash games. And that's about it. All right, that's it. We made it through the slate. Really fun 10-game slate. I love it because there's no massive over-under, so you're going to be able to build some really creative, fun lineups on this slate. If you guys have any questions, feel free to tweet at me, at DanielAGreen1. Hopefully, I will try to also do a short 5, 10, 15-minute audio clip for you guys around 6 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, an hour before lineup lock, because a lot changes between now and when the slate will, you know, or when the games tip off. So, but for now, I gotta get to bed. I am beat. For me, for the bailiff, court is adjourned.